Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Don't call the show if you expect me to agree with you 100%. If you can't handle the heat, I'm telling you, don't call. Don't do it. A, the world would be boring if we all agreed. B, I have opinions, so do you. It's okay for us to disagree. It's sports. This is not life or death. It's not the war in Afghanistan. It's not the fight against cancer. It's sports. So why should we all agree? It would be boring that way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Chargers are 6-1 in games decided by one score this season. And if you think about the games they've recently won, especially the two on the road, rallying from 16 points down at half against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now coming back from 14 points down in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, they are building not just an impressive resume and an entire body of work that you can point to remind you that the Chargers recognize you're not out until it's completely done, but also the confidence boost. I mean, these are wins with statements, and they're also confidence-boosting wins. And they hold the Chiefs in their own house. They hold the Chiefs to the fewest number of yards that they have accumulated in any game this season. And so quite a work for the Chargers' defense. And especially that three and out late in the game. And I sincerely hope that as much as people complain about the flags, and that is your prerogative, if you want to complain about the officials, and I mean, I had some guy write to me and say, is this the worst officiating job in the history of the NFL? But you know what? I get that tweet every single week. Every single week. If that's what you want to complain about, that's fine. You're entitled to do that as a fan. And then we had the defensive pass interference flag at the end of the end zone or the back of the end zone on third and goal. We have a missed helmet-to-helmet call that wasn't made against the Chiefs on Phillip Rivers. We had so many flags in the fourth quarter that it was about to drive me nuts. Way too much dirty laundry. Let the guys play. There were, 15 first downs? No, hold on. I got to look at the number again to make sure I get it right. But there were a lot of first downs that came courtesy of the flag. There were eight first downs that were strictly based on flags that were thrown. And it felt like the deeper we got into the game, the more flags were thrown. At one point, I laughed out loud because Joe Buck said on the NFL Network broadcast, the Fox broadcast, if you got a flag, throw it. Everybody throw the flag, because it was like one play and every single guy out there on the field was trying to get the flag out of his pants so he could throw it. And so I know that that can be frustrating, and it's also annoying when you have to sit through a replay review and you have to watch it frame by frame. And the more that happens, the more you're going to get human beings second guessing what they thought they saw and what they think they know, because in real time, we see one thing, and then you slow it down in not just slow motion, but frame by frame 15 times, and then you think, okay, well, I can see it both ways. So here's one thing that I'm pleased with about the officiating this season. They are more and more going with the call that was on the field. So as opposed to overturning it without irrefutable evidence, they're allowing the officials on the field to have the benefit of the doubt. These are your guys. They're the guys you hire. So there's absolutely no need to be overturning their calls unless you have indisputable, irrefutable evidence. And so I do appreciate that. I feel like that's a concerted effort this year by the NFL officiating and by the replay review crew, by the NFL overall. allow the officials to do their job. Don't undercut them. Don't undermine them. But it still sucks that you have to sit through a replay on a touchdown like that. And so I hope the controversy doesn't overshadow what was a really impressive performance on both sides of the ball by the Chargers. And after they waste two possessions in the first half with poor decisions by Phillip Rivers, after they see Pat Mahomes carved them up to start the first quarter and then again to start the third quarter out of halftime, they really buckled down and they were able to take Mahomes off the field late in the game and keep him off the field. And that, I don't think the impact of that can be overstated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What's the game you're most looking forward to now that we've got that one off the table? And we'll do a little more post-game reaction from Kansas City as we head closer toward the end of the show, simply because our early morning audience, primarily the central and eastern time zones, will start to wake up and move around, and many of them maybe missed the end of the game or turned it off when it was, what, about 8 minutes to go and the Chargers were still down by two touchdowns. That's why I love working nights, because I never have to turn off a game early to go get some sleep. So we'll get the reaction from Andrew Reid and Pat Mahomes. This is a gut punch for them, to be sure. Also, if you missed the game, it's about to re-air here on the NFL Network. I have it up in studio, and they're about to re-air the whole thing. So you could go and you could watch it if you're just waking up on your Friday morning. Friday! And we've got some other previews as well. I definitely want to take a hard look at the Dallas-Indianapolis game. Dallas still trying to win the NFC East. Indy trying to hang in there and carve its way into a wild card spot or potentially the AFC South title. Such a critical game. And if you think about the Amari Cooper Cowboys that are now 5-1 and how well Andrew Luck is playing, you've got two candidates for comeback player of the year just on the same field. And I think it's neat to use both of these teams as an example of how the season ebbs and flows and how sometimes teams get buried too early. And it just is a matter of them finding the chemistry, finding a rhythm, finding consistency. That's the name of the game, and peaking at the right time. And both of these teams, they're doing that. Just that weird 6-0 shutout at the hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Man, Frank Reich said nothing would work. It was just one of those games where nothing worked. But thinking about first-year head coaches, that was a home run for the Colts. I don't know what would have happened if Josh McDaniels was there. I do know that McDaniels was a head coach in Denver, and it did not go well. I'm assuming that he has grown up, that he's changed. He's making different decisions now. His ego got in the way when he was there in Denver. And also, there were some I don't want to say not impressive draft picks, but the draft picks that he used, a couple of them I can think of that were wasted draft picks. How about that? They weren't draft picks that ended up staying in Denver for a long time. But Frank Reich, man, he has been the perfect fit for the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll talk about that game coming up here in 10 minutes. And also, Brian and Dave on the other side of the double pane glass did a deep dive about the fake social media accounts that have been set up in my name. Oh my gosh. Even as I was talking about it last hour here on the air, there were people who were posting on that page. Anyway, do not post the link anywhere on our actual social media. We will not be acknowledging it in the Twitter sphere or the Facebook sphere. I did block the account on Facebook because I don't need people like being able to link us or think that we're linked. But Brian was a little worried that he was actually friends with the fake one. And there are a lot of people who are responding to a fake Amy Lawrence Facebook account, to be sure. So I just don't know who would go to all that trouble. But we'll give you the update. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. So if you were one of those people that was watching the Rockets and the Lakers Well, good for you. I mean, I'm impressed. I think the numbers, the ratings will bear out that Chiefs and Chargers has a larger audience, but that's pretty standard. The NFL tends to dwarf pretty much everything else when it comes to the actual ratings and the numbers of viewers. But this game was close in the fourth quarter until it wasn't. Oh my goodness. So if you weren't following the game, this was going on in Houston, and the Rockets had a very slight lead over the visiting Lakers in the fourth quarter. And James Harden tells Coach D'Antoni, I need a rest. I need a blow. Hey, can I sit for a second? Which doesn't happen very often, and you wouldn't think it would happen in the fourth quarter. But Coach pulls him, allows him to sit for a minute, and because of that rest, because of that break, he comes back with about 5 minutes left in the game and flat out takes over. So by doing something a little bit different, by Harden asking out, even though it was just for a few minutes, spanned like a TV break in there as well, he recognized that he would be much more effective if he could just sit for a minute. And boy, was he. He came back and he tore it up, and this turned into a double-figure win.
Here's Harden over LeBron from 30 feet away. Good. It rattled around on the rim for a while, but then went in. And Harden has 44 points.
You realize that was a step-back 33-footer?
Here comes Harden into the front court, down the middle, all the way, lay it up and in. 46 for Harden. 2:13 to go. 122-108. The Lakers put up a valiant fight tonight, but Harden is MVP Harden tonight. And now the crowd wants Harden to go for 50. He's dribbling.
Well, he may as well. He's this close.
There he goes. Down the middle. Pulls up. Lays it in. 50 points for James Harden.
James Harden comes back in the game with 4:57 left. And at that point, it was a 5-point advantage for the Rockets. It was 109-104. And before you know it, they have come up with, let's see, then it turned out, when I say 109-104, it turned out to be an 11-4 run. And then it was just out of reach at that point and not enough time. So rested, even for a brief couple of minutes there, a brief respite. The rest for the reigning MVP turned out to be critical for them down the stretch. And I know we're not in that point in the season where it's a huge grind, right? Where you're talking about mentally and physically, guys are so fatigued. We're not that deep in the season yet. But just to know I need to catch my breath. And what does he do? He ends up scoring 11 points in a big fourth quarter run. And he also has a triple-double. So 15 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists for James Harden. And you hear the audio there on the Houston Rockets radio network. Chris Paul even said he was surprised that Harden asked for a break, because very rarely does he take himself out of a game. But he was able to use that. It wasn't just, hey, I'm done here. I'm spent. I need to sit. He just was getting a blow, and then he was out back on the court again. So the LeBron portion of this, 29 points for the Lakers. They had won their two games before the loss to Houston, and they are still six games above 500. Houston's not there yet. They're trying. They're struggling to keep their head above water. So they get to 500 and then they'll fall back. And then they're just trying to get back to even here. But they put themselves in a bit of a hole if you consider the Western Conference. The good news about the Western Conference is that everybody's so bunched up that by putting together five wins in a row, six wins in a row, you're going to be able to make up major ground. So Houston, this is crazy to me. The team that took the Warriors to seven games in the Western Conference Finals, that team is third from the bottom of the Western Conference standings now. And they've pretty much been there the entire time. The only team that's really been worse than them consistently is the Phoenix Suns. And then Minnesota is also struggling too. So you've got those two teams who were playoff bound a year ago and made some noise in the playoffs. Well, if I'm not mistaken, Minnesota played Houston in the first round, but the Timberwolves had finished with a really impressive run at the end of the regular season. And then just kind of, because everybody was so bunched up, they ended up in the eighth seed and had to play the Rockets. However, those two teams are still supposed to come out of the gates hot, right? Because we think, oh yeah, that momentum will carry over. Nope. So yeah, the Rockets are third from the bottom in the West But the top eight teams, they're all separated by just three games. And actually, if you break it down by standings, as bad as the Rockets have been, they're only five games out of first place. Isn't that crazy? They are below 500. They're the third worst team in the Western Conference, and they're still only five games out of first place. Five games back of the Warriors and the Nuggets in the Western Conference standings, which again means if you put together a run, you're easily going to leapfrog and catapult over several teams and put yourself right in position. So yeah, they're not done by any stretch of the imagination. They just didn't make it easy on themselves by falling into that early hole. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We'll look at the Colts-Cowboys game coming up, and we'll also take some of your Football Friday phone calls. You can find me on Twitter, too. Eight is the phone number. A is how we start my Twitter account. Oh, maybe this is why people think it's a fake account, because I can't remember the name of it. It's A-Law Radio, and you can vote for the game that you're most looking forward to this weekend. Also on our Facebook page, we've got the whole damn schedule up there just right away. Type away to your heart's content. Just make sure you're on the right page and it's not a fake page. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And Prescott in the gun. They look like they're going to blitz. Here comes everybody. Slant in the direction. Cooper caught it on the bounce. Off the defender. Cooper walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Cooper. Cowboys win. How else would you settle this game besides the ball bouncing off a defender into Amari Cooper's hands and him walking in for the winning score? How else?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And this game preview is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers, cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. The price and the participation may vary. Brad Sham with the call of the overtime winner. The third touchdown of the game for Amari Cooper was off the hands of a defender. And he's there, right place, right time, as he seems to be since he joined the Cowboys. They're now 5-1 since the trade with Oakland to bring Amari in as their number one wide receiver in exchange for a first round draft pick. I believe he has proved his worth. But over that span, which now a five game win streak for the Cowboys, you have seen the defense get better and better. A lot of younger guys who are growing up, who are taking ownership of this, of course, feeding off some of the older guys, but that hard-hitting defense now gets to take on Andrew Luck. Luck probably is the comeback player of the year in the NFL. He's back to being that athletic force, a guy who has great field vision, who can pretty much make any throw, but also can hurt you by extending plays, or if he has to, by moving around in the pocket or out of the pocket until he can find someone who's open. And you want to talk about targets, the way that Amari Cooper is a target for Dak Prescott. How about T.Y. Hilton and the relationship between T.Y. and Andrew Luck? 556 yards receiving for T.Y. Hilton in the past four games, the most in the NFL over that stretch. And you remember the last time we saw the Colts, that was on the road in Houston, he caught nine passes for 199 yards. So he is putting up incredible numbers. And the Colts, as a result of the offense, plus the fact that their O-line is really protecting Andrew Luck, the defense is bend but don't break. They have won five of their last six, and they're now above 500 again in the AFC South. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Can't wait to see this matchup as well between the Colts and the Cowboys. We do have a doubleheader Sunday on CBS. It's all about the playoffs, as we've been foreshadowing and previewing. Miami will take on Minnesota, and then it's that huge game with the two division leaders both fighting to not only claim division titles, but to try to earn a bye in the first round. New England collides with Pittsburgh and Heinz Field. The day kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. And we'll hear from Jason Garrett, as well as from Andrew Luck, coming up after we get through the update at the bottom of the hour. Let's talk to George, who's listening in Massachusetts. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
but I just want to talk about the game last night. Did you happen to see the end of it or no?
Wait, come on, George. Did you really ask me that question?
I'm kidding with you.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, Kansas City's defense, especially defensive backs, they have Swiss cheese.
Yeah, it was crazy too, right? Because Phillip Rivers early on got into some trouble and made some bad throws, and he was picked off twice. But late in the game, it's just the precision that he throws with. Sometimes it's, I don't know if you're a Patriots fan or not, but being around the Patriots, when Tom Brady delivers a throw on the money, it doesn't really matter what the defensive back is doing. I'm thinking specifically of the Travis Benjamin catch on fourth down. Kendall Fuller was in position. He was between Rivers and Benjamin, but the ball was led so perfectly with such a flat trajectory that the only guy who could get a hand on it was Travis Benjamin. So Kendall Fuller didn't play poorly. He just couldn't. There was no way he could get to that ball. And so it was short of like literally grabbing Benjamin, pulling him down. There was no way he was going to get to that ball or stop Benjamin from getting there. And so I just think the credit has to go to late in the game. The way that Benjamin and Mike Williams got open, but also the fact that Phillip Rivers was delivering the ball on the money. Now, I will say the two-point conversion, Chiefs bit. They bit on the fakes. They bit on the diversion, and Mike Williams was all alone. So that was definitely a breakdown. But I would say for those two touchdown drives, it was more about what the Chargers were doing than it was about the poor defense. I mean, the secondary is a weakness for the Chiefs, but, man, they had a great pass rush all night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely the pass rush, yeah, because I watched the whole game.
Good.
You know, the pass rush they definitely have, but exactly. Everything you just said is right. Yes, I'm a huge Patriots fan. And, but, yeah, that two-point conversion, he was literally wide open.
He was, the fake worked so perfectly that they didn't even see him squirting out from the middle toward the right. Yeah, everybody else went left, he went right.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was good to see, so. Yeah, the Pats, they'll be right there like they are every year. You know what I mean? So, and I can't wait to see it. You know, Brady is Brady. He is the GOAT.
He definitely is. But I know that, and you know this too, you cannot win a Super Bowl on the strength of one man. Because if you did, if you could, then they would never not win. But their defense has also got some major weaknesses.
Oh, I understand that. I know. But you know how the Pats get as playoffs come closer. They just get better.
Well, this is going to be playoff atmosphere at Heinz Field for sure.
Definitely. They'll beat them up again.
Okay, George. I'll expect you to call me back if you don't beat them up.
Hey, if I have a chance, I will, Amy. Have a great evening.
Thanks. Have a good weekend, George. Let's quick talk to Andrew, who's in Washington, D.C. Andrew, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you so much. I just want to say I've been listening for a long time, and you make my insomnia a paradise. And
well, that's sweet. Thanks, Andrew.
The situation of the Redskins is just abysmal.
It is. It's brutal.
It's a malaise, and everybody's blaming the general manager. But I want to focus on the players. They're earning a lot of money, and it just seems to me that no matter what, they should be playing with intensity, and they're not. I just wanted to see what you had to say, and I had one other comment when you're done.
I mean, I would say that I saw the intensity from them when the season was still there in the balance. This is the type of a losing streak, and the injuries that they have accumulated that can just completely frustrate and deject any locker room. So you need the leadership to step up. But the fact that they've gone through two starting quarterbacks, the fact that they really right now that they're grasping at straws, but it's not just that. How about the running backs? I mean, they had a really strong running game to start the year. They had so many different guys who've gotten injured. And I know Adrian Peterson is great, but it's still the offensive line has taken major hits, which means then the run game suffers. Their defense has lost a few guys. I mean, they just haven't been able to rise above the injuries. And honestly, this late in the season, that's the name of the game for every team. And they have not been able to do it.
Yeah. And one other matter. You mentioned at the opening of the show, at least when I started listening, that every summer you go to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little hurt by that because it's a it's a violator of human rights. And I don't
go as vacation, Andrew, just to clarify. I go to work with a youth camp that's out in the poor suburbs outside Havana. And so, and I don't spend any money while I'm there. I don't go to hang out at the beach. I go to work with a group of youth for a church camp that I've been working with now for 3 years. So it's the same people. It's important to me. I've developed relationships there, and these kids are important to me. So it's not what you think. It's not going there to spend a lot of money and to buy alcohol and to, you know, find cigars. It's about going to work with people who are in need.
Can you briefly tell us how you feel when you're there?
It's sad. It makes me wish that I could do a whole lot more. As a communist country, obviously they're limited by their government. They're on food rations. Yeah. I mean, it's really difficult to see the conditions, and people on, you know, if you're only watching on TV or you take a cruise to Havana, what you see is old Havana, where the government has poured a ton of money into it, and it's upgraded and it's beautiful, and they're restoring all these old buildings, and the architecture is amazing, and you see the old cars and you think, oh, that's awesome. But the people don't have access to any of that. I mean, the Cubans can't stay in the nice hotels. They're not allowed to. They can't even buy white chicken or beef because that's against the law, theoretically. It's a communist government. They can't watch any TV that's not piped in by the government or approved by the government. They essentially do not have a postal system. They don't have a post office that is reliable, that you can send them gifts, because the government will confiscate anything. And so it's the people that are suffering. And it's sad. It makes me appreciate the United States, but it also makes me wish that I could do more, which is why I keep going back, even though, as you talk about, people misconstrue why I go. But it's important to me.
Thank you very much.
All right, Andrew, thanks for your call in D.C. I appreciate that. If you ever want to read more about my trips to Cuba, I have a personal blog. The link is on my Twitter page, and I write about those trips. And I do post a few pictures also on our Facebook page and on my Twitter page. So there's plenty about why I go and what I do while I'm there, as well as a little bit about the culture, because the people in Cuba are amazing. Thank you for letting me take that little tangent in response to Andrew's question. 855-212-4227. Coming up, we'll talk a little more about that game between the Colts and the Cowboys. I want you to hear what Andrew Luck has to say about T.Y. Hilton, but also Jason Garrett praising, clapping. I like it when Jason Garrett claps. Amari Cooper. And we've got another big game, too, between the Saints and the Panthers. And it was classic. I mean, epic. Cam Newton at his last press conference to be ready for this NFC South matchup on Monday night. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Let's go with Chef Andrew, who's listening in Ohio. Are you really a chef?
Yes. How are you?
Yes. I love food. Chef is the way to my heart.
Tonight's special was grilled Cajun shrimp Philly sandwiches, pot of gold potato wedges, and chopped up kielbasa over a big plate of JoJo fries.
Are you trying to make me jealous? You're trying, aren't you?
I could talk to your producer. We could bring the food truck out to you.
Well, when we go on the road in Cleveland, that would be amazing.
Hey, you're my first stop. Take my breath away.
Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to my heart. Start singing to me about food, and I'll be swooning. We had another caller about food earlier, too, didn't we? It wasn't a caller. It was our guest. Our guest talking about the atmosphere at Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs-Chargers game. And he said it's loud, 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 which, of course, I know. And that's what it's famous for. But he said the crazy thing was you drive up to the stadium and everybody's tailgating. And it's this huge smoke cloud. It's all of the grills that are outside and everybody's barbecuing. And so it's combined into one big smoky barbecue cloud, which sounds amazing. And I'm sure it smelled amazing too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? I want to hear from you. So you've got our show poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. And a lot of you are writing extensive diaries about what you're most looking forward to week 15. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. A couple of your comments from our Facebook page. Brandon says, I'm looking forward to the open tryouts in Jacksonville, where two regular Joes can live their dream of playing quarterback in an NFL game. Gosh, they made a movie about that in Philadelphia. It's a good, good movie. What was the name of that movie? It was Mark Wahlberg, but what was the name of it? Yeah, that's not my department. Entertainment movies, not my department. But I do remember watching it, and it was really good. Let's see. Johnny on Facebook, excited to see what my Tennessee Titans do this weekend in New Jersey against the G-Men. Hope they keep getting W's and the little help they need from others to make the postseason. And then he writes in parentheses, go Jets, Cowboys, Vikings, and Buccaneers. Oh, Invincible. That's right. That was a good movie. And Mark Wahlberg, he hasn't supplanted Tom Hanks as my favorite actor, but he's my current favorite actor, if that makes sense. Tom Hanks is the all-time favorite, but right now there isn't a Mark Wahlberg movie that I will not see. He's fantastic. I just saw 15 Minutes. Wait, 15. Oh, gosh. See what I told you about? Hold on, you just give me a second. I just saw, it was over Thanksgiving, and I watched it with my family, and it's a new, it's like an FBI movie, this off-the-book movie, 15 Miles. Might have been 15 Miles. Don't tell me. Mile 20, yes, there we go. 15 minutes, 22 miles, mile 22, whatever. It's all in my brain somewhere. Yes, mile 22. It was intense. If you haven't seen it and you like Mark Wahlberg, oh my gosh, he's psychotic in this movie, but really good. And that's all I'm going to tell you. How the heck did I get started on that? Oh, Invincible. Okay, so open tryouts. Invincible led me to Mark Wahlberg movies. I mean, it's a very simple progression. My brain is like a plate of spaghetti. You pull out one piece of information and then everything, all the other spaghetti comes out with it.
Avocado ice cream.
That does not sound good to me. I love avocados too. I actually have three of them in my fridge at home. I put avocado on eggs, on pasta, on salads, on sandwiches. I love avocado, but avocado ice cream, why destroy perfectly good ice cream?
Avocado ice cream.
No avocado ice cream. That's Ben Roethlisberger referring to Tom Brady's secret to life, avocado ice cream. Let's see. Elsewhere on our Facebook page, Matt says he's most excited about Packers and Bears. Jim says Dallas at Indy. I bet a guy an Arby's roast beef the Colts would win. I mean, that's living large right there. It's living high on the hog, an Arby's roast beef sandwich. Let's see. Terry says, longtime Lions fan, so interested to see how bad they're going to be this weekend. Also, Pack at Bears in the division. Oh, come on. Let's be a little more optimistic than that. So you can find me on Twitter or on our Facebook page and let me know. Or if you don't feel like speaking about it, well, then you can just take the poll because that's up there as well. And we'll work in your Football Friday phone calls. I mean, I see the phones ringing, but there's no one on my screen. Is this like a game, a trick you guys are playing on me in there? My brain is like a plate of spaghetti. I mean, that is true. I said it and I own it. I stand by it.
Avocado ice cream.
No, it's not like avocado ice cream. It's like a plate of spaghetti. All right.
My brain is like a plate of spaghetti.
Well, I'm waiting for Dave and Brian to get serious in there and rack up these phone calls here. Why don't we give you the update on the injury to Carson Wentz? According to multiple reports, it's actually a broken vertebrae, a broken back. And what they're saying is they believe it will heal with rest. But how long does that take? I wondered if this was like Tony Romo. Remember how often he had a couple of fractured vertebrae? This is like the argument between bro and bruh. Hey, Brian, what's the difference between bro and bruh?
A bruh is like when you're like frustrated and like someone says something stupid and you just go, bruh. Oh. But like a bro is like, yeah, we're bros, you know? We're bros.
Okay. If you could have seen the kumbaya symbol that Brian just gave me with his hands while he was talking about bros. So bra is actually not like a compliment. It's not a name of affection.
You don't call someone your bra.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay. You only call someone your bra if they're driving you insane.
Yeah, or they say something just so dumb and you gotta
stupid.
Be like, bra.
Do you use these terms?
I don't.
Oh, well.
I mean, I have my bros, but I don't call them my bros.
What do you call them? I call mine the crew. The crew or the posse. My family is the crew or the posse. I mean, that's what we are. What do you call your bros?
I call them my friends.
Oh.
I'm a little old-fashioned, I guess.
That seems really boring. Okay, so a recent CAT scan on Carson Wentz's back reveals that he's got a fractured vertebra. Nope. A fractured vertebrae. A fractured vertebra. I think I kind of like the vertebra. I mean, it's frustrating, right? So anyway, they don't think it's going to need surgery, but they do know he'll have to rest. And they have no idea how long he's going to be out. In fact, if you ask Sean McVay, there's been no official announcement. He thinks this might be a bunch of hooey that the Eagles are trying to run some interference here and kind of get him off track because he doesn't know if they should be preparing for Carson Wentz or Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles.
They haven't officially ruled him out, so you know you can't say anything for certain. You know, you see and you
he's
hear
got
the reports that are out there, but like
vertebra.
We said, you know, whether it's Carson or whether it's Nick Foles, it doesn't really change our approach, our urgency for us to be able to get ready to go against, you know, the defending world champs.
I mean, the idea is, I love that he throws it in at the end, because yes, they are still the world champs until they do not make the playoffs and get and not have the chance to repeat if they get the door slammed in their face. Essentially, right now, they're trying to figure out if he can continue to play without doing further damage. I mean, that's the issue. As much as you hate to think about it, if you're an Eagles fan, this stinks. You are still clinging to shreds of hope. You're hanging on by a thread, and it's starting to become, oh my gosh, really thin, and the thread is shredding, but you're hanging on still. And if you don't have Carson Wentz, while I appreciate what Sean McVay is saying, that you prepare for both guys. They're not the same guy. And Nick Foles hasn't played in a while. I mean, let's be honest. Even coming in last year, we remember the Super Bowl MVP, but do you remember how long it took him to get into a groove and how much Doug Peterson and at the time Frank Reich had to tailor that offense to fit Nick Foles? Remember, they were watching video during the bye week trying to figure out how best they could set up Nick Foles and the offense. Let's do a quick call here. Noah is in Wisconsin. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. Nice talking with you.
You too.
So, yeah, I'm a truck driver. You keep me going through the night here. But I wanted to talk about the Packers, and then I have one special request to see once if I can hear it on the radio.
Okay, you got
to
hurry.
Okay, hey, could you play the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Go Chargers, Go?
Like, just magically? I don't think we can do it unless we have a little time. So you're going to have to wait until next hour.
Okay. That was pretty funny. Go, Chargers, go.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Is that all you needed?
No, I wanted to talk about the Green Bay Packers and what I thought about the new change. I'm a big Packer fan. And I think Aaron Rodgers is kind of liking the fact that Mike McCarthy and the rift is over.
And now go Chargers, go.
Okay, that's courtesy of Brian. I don't think you can read too much into one game. I'm certain that most of us, most human beings, prefer not to have angst and anxiety and a relationship that keeps us walking on eggshells if it was actually that bad. But it doesn't mean all of a sudden they're a great team because Mike McCarthy has been let go. And now they've got other issues too, right? Like, who's the next coach? Who fits with Aaron Rodgers? So while they definitely played well last week, they should have been playing like that all along. I don't think the change from Mike McCarthy to Joe Philbin had much to do with it. But that's how it goes. They're all on their minding their P's and Q's and on their best behavior now. So, Noah, thank you so much. Wait, can we hear it again? Can we hear? Oh, you already. We can't. We've already closed out the file. In essence, we've already told Arnold Schwarzenegger to go home. We just needed you for that 1-2 second. Go Chargers, go! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.